Amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray while you're standing. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness today. Lord, you allowed us to rise up and be able to make it into your house, God, or even online. And we just thank you. Every day is a gift. Every heartbeat is a blessing from you. Father, we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. We invite you to have your way, God, as we look into your word, Lord. We thank you for the ability to come and lift up your name and worship together, Lord, and magnify you. But now we ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, let us hear what your spirit is saying unto the church. Move me out of the way, God. Just have your way in this place, God. Speak to each of us according to your will, your timing, and your purpose, Lord. We thank you. Lord, for just how good you are to us, better than we deserve or ever can even earn, God. But yet your love, you continue to extend it toward us, Lord, each and every day. And we thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, as we walk this walk together, as we strive to live lives that are acceptable and pleasing in your sight, help us, Father. And, well, I pray for those that are challenged in their bodies, God, in their spirit, in their soul, Lord, that you are a healer, you are a deliverer. Lord, you are able to set captives free. Lord, and we pray in the name of Jesus that we would all be able to walk in the freedom and the liberty of your spirit. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just tell somebody, I'm glad to see you this morning. I hope you mean it. I'm glad to see each of y'all here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we just look at what God is going to do here. Amen. We release the children to their class. Amen. So they can go and be instructed. Amen. And as we bring our thoughts and hearts in unto the word, we know that God has prepared for us. Amen. Notice I said us, not just for you, for us. It's for me too. Amen. You know, sometimes as the pastor or the teacher or the preacher or whatever the case, you get it twice. You get it while you're preparing it, amen. And then you get it again when you get, you know, when you are graced to deliver it by his spirit, amen. You know, so but I really believe that it's a time now for God's people to really focus in and realize the seriousness, amen, of this walk of being a child of God. The commitment that it's calling for, amen, is greater than any other commitment we make in our lives. And amen, how many of you know we make some great commitments? Amen. I remember when I committed to get married, that was a great commitment. Amen. And it's still a commitment. Amen. After almost 50 years, amen, of marriage, amen, still got to stay committed. Amen. In a world, amen, where marriage is being under attack and being destroyed and turned into any and every kind of thing, amen, you got to be committed to the truth. Amen. So I thank God for that. I mean, when I committed to go join the military, that was a great commitment. Amen. It took me away from my family many times. Amen, and took me places that I never thought I'd go. Amen, and went through things that I never thought I'd go through. Amen, but to continue on, then crazy enough to re-enlist and do it some more. Over and over again. But that's a commitment, amen. So it's just, there's many commitments we make, but I must reassert that the greatest commitment that you could ever make, amen, and sometimes I don't believe that, you know, God's people understand it all the ways. Amen. The greatest commitment you can make is your commitment to God. Amen. Because that commitment, above all others, is going to determine, amen, your eternity. Amen. See, my marriage ain't going to determine, unless I act crazy in my marriage and not please God. See, that goes back to my commitment to God. So everything hinges on that commitment. Amen. And what it takes, you know. So, you know, as we look around the world and we see all the things that's unfolding, all the unrest and all the events that are taking place, You know, it should become clear to us that it's time. Time is winding up. Amen. And if not globally, it's winding up for each one of us each and every day as we draw closer and closer, amen, to our departure from this earth, amen. And one thing I know that I want to be is ready when my time comes. Amen. Whether the Lord comes or whether I go before he comes, I want to be ready. How about you? Amen. So that takes, you know, a made-up mind, because any one of us could be gone in any minute. Amen. So that's why I say, even as I was praying, every day is a gift. Every day is a blessing. Amen. From the Lord. Amen. So there's decisions that we have to make. Amen. And you know, as I was thinking about it, we have to make that decision every day. Every day. You know, say, I gave my life to the Lord. Well, what you do after that? Amen. I know for myself, amen, giving my life to the Lord, that didn't mean I didn't have no challenges. That didn't mean I didn't need to grow some and change some, amen. But I had to make that commitment over and over again. When challenges came, amen, and trouble arose, I still had to make that commitment over and over to stay there and to stand on his will and his word, amen. And see, we got to make that commitment every day as individuals that are riding upon the planet Earth, amen. And we still have breath in our lungs, amen, and the ability to choose. Amen. And some of y'all know what I say, you know, is when it comes to our own will, the best thing you can do with your will is what? Submit it to God. Amen. Because your will get you in trouble. Amen. Amen. Even Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Because sometimes, you know, what we will don't line up with God's will. Amen. And so I'm going somewhere with this. So y'all just hold on. Just kind of lay a little foundation here to understand where we at and where we need to be, you know, because, you know, there's coming a time, amen, when you're going to look back and I'm going to look back and I'm going to have to say, did I make the right choice? Amen. There's going to be a time, amen, when we stand before him. And I know what I want to hear him say. Amen. Well done. Amen. But we have to choose now. Just tell somebody, choose now.
Choose now.
Tell them the same thing again. Choose now. Choose now, amen, because the time is coming, amen, when it's going to be too late.
Yes.
Amen. You know, not making a choice.
It's making a choice.
There you go.
Amen.
It's making a choice already, amen. But this morning, I want to talk to you from the heart of God, amen, and even as he's stirring my heart, amen, because I love the things that, you know, he's been stirring me with and the things I look around and I see, both in the church and in the world. And when I say the church, I'm talking about globally.
Yes.
Amen. With all the things I see through media and different churches and pastors that, you know, I associate with and talk to and, you know, communicate with. You know, some things that I want us to understand. God wants us to understand, amen, where we really are. You know, this year, amen, as this year is wrapping up, it's hard to believe that we're already into December.
Amen.
It seems like we just got started, amen. And this year we've been, you know, dealing with the theme, aiming to live as kingdom representatives. How y'all been doing with that? That's it. Challenging, help, Lord. It's been work. Amen. But that's the truth. That's the choice.
Amen.
As a kingdom representative, because when the pressure's on, amen, who going to show up? You or him.
All right.
Amen. You know, so we got in all things, we want to be able to represent Christ, amen, so that they see him and not us.
Yes.
And that's the important thing, amen. So we've been working on that, and hopefully, amen, we've made some progress, amen. But only you and I know, amen, how well we've done. Of course, the Lord knows too.
Amen.
Amen. So we just keep on working on that. But, you know, we're living in troubled times. Anybody agree with me?
Yes.
Man, you know, we're living in troubled times, and it's all around us. Amen. And many, I'm sad to think to say that many of God's people don't really understand how much trouble is on the horizon.
Yes.
And not just what we see, amen, but we see all these things around us, amen. And sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in our day-to-day and our own challenges with our finances and our relationships and our job and our or our business, and we become clueless about the big picture.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. So I want us to look at the big picture, amen, because we can get so inundated by our own stuff, amen, that things begin to happen around us, and rather than being prepared, amen, we're caught up and we'll miss it.
Yes.
Amen. You ever hear the news and you say, I didn't know that was going on? Amen. But you know, we live in an information age. Right? Not that we need to know everything that's going on in everybody's life. Amen. You don't have to be watching, you know, all these different shows that tell you what's going on in the movie. I don't care what's going on in the movie star's life.
Right.
I don't care what's going on with the sports figure's life. I got my own life. Amen, to deal with, you know, but sometimes we follow everybody else, amen, and we compare ourselves to them. But when you take a closer look, you begin to see, you know, in every life, a little rain must fall. No matter who you are, what you have, amen, trouble's coming, amen. So we gotta choose, amen, where we're going to put our focus, because we can become distracted so easily by so many things, you know, but we need to put our focus on the kingdom agenda.
Amen.
What is God doing? What is God saying? What do I need to be doing, amen, as a child of God, amen, as a kingdom representative? What do I need to be doing? Where does my focus need to be? What is my mission? You know, what is the call on my life? What does God desire me to be about right now? Amen. I know the Bible says occupy till he comes, but that don't mean leave him out.
Right?
Right?
All right.
So we got to understand those things. But we see trouble, amen. We see it happening everywhere, and things are going to get worse before they get better. I can tell you right now, amen, it's going, amen. We see all kinds of faults and fallacies around us, amen. And sometimes, you know, we just push it off to the side. Well, that's happening over in Ukraine, or that's happening over in Israel, and that's between, you know, the Israelites and Hamas, and that's between, you know, Russia and Ukraine, and that's China breathing down the neck of Taiwan wanting to invade, and, you know, all this stuff that's going on with the Sudanese over, and you know, and we push it all everywhere else, and we feel comfortable and relaxed because it's not at our doorstep. Ain't you glad it's not at your doorstep? Guess what?
It is
at your doorstep. See, that's how we lull ourselves into a false sense of security, you know, and that's what happened, amen, when Israel was invaded, you know, on October 6th. Amen, that's what happened when we were invaded on September 11th.
Yeah.
We had a false sense of security that everything was all right, amen, and we just go on about our own selves, and, you know, but there's always signs. You know, even as I listen, when they look back at 9/11 and they look back at what happened in Israel, and there were always signs of these things happening, but no action was taken because everybody was lulled into a false sense of security.
Amen.
Say, Pastor David, why are you going down this road? Because I think sometimes if we don't watch out as the church of God, we too can be lulled into a false sense of security. That everything is good, everything is all right, amen. But we need to hear, amen. We got, you know, different things that go on around our world, amen. And sometimes we don't even hear it. And there's many, many of God's people are just so comfortable in their day-to-day, amen. And we go to church and we, you know, in many places, and we go home and give no more thought to the message. Give no more thought. Or maybe we go to church to put a check in the box, and, you know, we receive a placebo rather than a word that's going to challenge us, amen. And sad to say, there's places where you go and even the leadership is not really telling you what you need to hear, but telling you what you want to hear.
All right.
That's not why God designed it. Amen. Amen. He didn't give us. You know, can you imagine a child going to school? And telling the teacher what they want to hear. Go to college and tell a professor, just give me what I want to hear. And that way I can pass the test because exactly what I want to do. But see, that's not how it works. You know, and too often we see, amen, in the kingdom of God, amen, where, you know, the church has adjusted its message, amen, to be pleasing to the hearer. Rather than speaking the truth, as the scriptures say, cry aloud and spare not. Amen. Set your faces flint. You know, I mean, and this is the one of the things that, you know, I think we need to see change across our nation and around the world. Amen. Because truly, we, you know what? We hear people say the truth hurts, right? And it's true, especially when we're not walking in it. Amen. Especially when it's calling us out, whether it's spiritual or natural, we just don't want to be called out with truth. Amen. But that's the only thing that's going to change us. Right. Amen. If everybody tell you you look good and you dress like you colorblind, you're just going to keep on walking around looking crazy. Right? Until somebody say the king don't have no clothes.
Right?
So a child said, no, the king's not. You know, everybody, you know, we can get lulled into these places. Amen. And think we're all right. You know, and when we go to church and we hear a message that you know, it lifts us up and makes us feel as though we are the puppet master and Jesus is the servant. Amen. He's there to meet our needs as we pull the strings rather than we come to serve him and his agenda. You know, it's going to challenge us. I didn't come to tickle y'all this morning. You might have figured that out already. Amen. Not that I ever come to tickle you. Amen. But I want us to hear, amen, because we live in a time, amen, where it's important that we recognize, amen, that we got to pay attention. You know, get our spiritual ears on, you know, and not live as though joining the church and be a part of God's kingdom is like joining a country club where everything is about you. You know, and you're treated with as royalty and, you know, as you're special or like going on a cruise. How many of y'all ever gone on a cruise ship? We like going on cruises, you know, because going on a cruise, amen, everything on the ship is designed for your pleasure, for your comfort, amen, to meet your needs because you're on vacation. Amen. You got servants that take care of your room. Amen. You got food 24 hours a day. You know, you got shows and you got everything that you want to go do. Amen. It's just you relax and you don't have to work. You just feed yourself and rest and just relax. And don't that sound good? You know, and that's how kind of we come to the church sometime or God's kingdom, amen, and we expect that that's how our life should be. Lord, fix this, take care of that, make sure I'm covered here, make sure I'm covered there. But I got news for you. Amen. This ain't no cruise ship. This ain't no country club. All right. Amen. See, when you thought you joined the country club, what you joined was you joined his military base. And if you've ever been in the military and go to the base, you know it's not all about you. You there to serve a whole much larger agenda. Amen. And you're a part of serving that agenda, which, you know, is there to service the nation and to protect the nation. So you become a pawn in the big scheme of things. Y'all follow me. See, and when you go on board his ship, it's not a cruise ship.
Amen. Amen.
It's a battleship.
Yes,
it's a warship. And those of us who have been in the Navy, we know that that ship is not designed for our comfort. Not at all. Not the racks that they give you about that wide. And you know, it's not designed for comfort, and they'll feed you, but you are going to work 12 hours a day. It's not 8 hours. When you got out on the ship, it's 12 on and 12 off, unless you got a watch. You know, you got to be on station, or maybe we go to general quarters, man, and everybody got to get up. You know, so it's a completely different experience between a warship and a cruise ship. What am I saying? This walk is completely different than the life of comfort that we came looking for. You know, and we need to recognize that. And the more we recognize it and understand our place and our position, amen, the more, amen, we can be able to function and even get the benefits of being in the right place at the right time, doing what God wants for us to do. Amen. Because he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, so I'm saying all this, but, you know, look with me in Matthew. We're going to start in Matthew, amen, the 11th chapter. And I know I'm not going to get through all my material today, so there'll be another part because I designed it that way. But when we look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, amen, and we still start at verse number 12. You know, Jesus had just got through in the 20. Oh, no, this is a different plot. I'll get to that in a minute. Amen. But he was saying this, for the day from the days of John the Baptist. I want y'all to hear that. From the days of John the Baptist. John the Baptist showed up before Jesus got here.
Amen.
He was his cousin, amen. He was born 6 months before Jesus. You know, and it says, John, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. From then, he said, until now. And I'm bringing it all the way up to now. Okay? He said, for all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if ye would receive it, if you would receive it. This is Jesus talking to them. He said, if you receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. Now, I have heard people use that passage, amen. The kingdom suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And it's been taken out of context so many times, amen, because we say we're the violent ones, and we're going to take it by force.
Help us today,
Jesus. That's not what it said. We are not the violent ones. We are not the ones that are strong and all that to take it by force. What it's saying is the kingdom of God is suffering violence against it, and the violent that are coming against it are trying to take the kingdom over by force. And that's why he was letting them know, amen, this is not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all, because we look and see, amen, the kingdom was subject to the violence of evil men. Does that sound like anything that's going on today? Subject to the violence of evil, amen. And they come in and they want to take it by force. They want to take it over. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees, amen. And when Jesus came, they didn't want him taken over.
Amen.
That's one of the reasons they came against him. And ultimately, with the help of the Jews who rejected him, were able to crucify him, because he came to tear their kingdom down and to establish his kingdom. And he encountered the violence, but God knew it was coming. But just because they crucified Jesus, amen, and they thought they had won, and the enemy thought he came out on top, but we found out when Jesus rose, he didn't win. But the enemy's not that smart, because Jesus didn't come with a physical army. He said, my kingdom is not of this world, else were my warriors would fight. My disciples would fight. But see, he came a whole other way. And because of that, the violence has continued until this day against the kingdom of God. The violence against you and I as the children of God, amen, has continued to come, amen, and because of the tactics of the adversary, sometimes we don't recognize what's going on. That's why, you know, when it talks about Satan in the book of Genesis, it said he was more subtle, more subtle, amen, he was a smooth talker. He was cunning and divisive, and he's still cunning and divisive. And he comes in, amen, as we call him, the silver-tongued devil. And he makes what's not good sound good. Amen. And he lulls us in, amen, to that false sense of security. And believe you me, he can give you whatever you want. Because why? The scripture says he is the prince of the power of the air. This is his domain, but only a prince, not a king. In other words, that king is subject to King Jesus. Amen. But we need to recognize, amen, that for a season, he has authority here.
Yes.
Amen. And he's able to do things, amen, that might blow your mind.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen. And he's able, amen. I can't go there right now. But we need to understand the situation, the circumstances that we're dealing with. And why? Because this kingdom is still suffering violence. And we're still watching Oprah and Dr. Phil and Lifetime and our sports and whatever series you like to watch. Amen. Because we're comfortable and we've forgotten, or maybe we haven't yet realized, that we're in a war. That we are in a war. Amen. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. A kingdom at war. You're in God's kingdom. You joined him. You gave your life to him. You enlisted, whether you realized it or not. Amen. You were recruited. Amen. And you enlisted in his army. Amen. And we are at war. And if we don't understand the depth of that war, amen, we become victims of the war. And so we need to understand, amen, that it is a warfare, amen. And the Bible talks, and when you really begin to look in the New Testament, amen, and in the Old, but the New, because sometimes people say, well, that was then. Well, I want to talk to you from the New Testament as well. You know, when we look into the New Testament, we see Jesus talks about the warfare all the time. The Apostle Paul talks about the warfare all the time. Amen. We begin to see, amen, there's a whole lot of language in there about war. Amen. But sometimes we don't see it as a war. Well, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, baptized, I'm good to go, all is well in my life, amen.
Help God.
And we haven't even checked out to see what our NEC is. For those of you who don't know, amen, that's your job rating, whatever it is, amen. And God calls us in, amen, and he has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us, amen. And if we don't pause and recognize this kingdom, amen, it has been at war. I just read you the passage from the days of John the Baptist. The assault has been against the kingdom. When Jesus came to reestablish his kingdom, amen, the adversary knew it and the assault began, amen, all the way to taking him to that cross. Amen. They thought if we can just kill him, it'll end the movement. But it didn't happen that way. Amen. When they killed him, amen, this thing took off like God intended for it to, amen. And you know, there's no fear. We know who wins. Amen. God's kingdom wins. Amen. But where do you stand?
Come on now. Hallelujah.
Where do I stand? Just because I'm in the kingdom.
That's it.
Just because I gave my life to him.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean I'm going to see the victory on the other side.
Right.
Because we have some work to do.
We.
You know, it's just like, you know, if I had just, you know, when I joined the Navy, if I'd have just went to the barracks and to the child hall and to the rec center,
Lord Jesus.
You know, and then back to the barracks and to the child hall and the rec center,
right.
And never learned my job,
right.
And never did the work I was supposed to do,
right.
Amen, except go to the barracks and the child hall and the rec center. And of course, the dispersion to get my check. I'm going to get paid, you know. If that's all I did, amen, I wouldn't have lasted long. Right? And sometimes that's how we do. We go to church and we go home and we go to work. We go to church. But we don't engage the warfare. We don't find out what is my job in the kingdom. What do I need to be doing? I don't need, no. When you joined the military, they took you away. If those of you who are just in the military, have been in the military or are in the military, understand. First thing they did when we got there, they took us into a room.
Yep.
Amen. They gave us uniforms. And they said, take off everything you got, put it in the box, because it's going home.
Uh-huh.
And they dressed us all like, took away our individual identity.
Yes.
Then the next morning, they marched us to the barbershop. Us men, I mean, they didn't do it to the ladies, but they weren't, you know. But they marched us to the barber shop, and that barber didn't have to have no skills. He wasn't going to give you a fade, you know, a flat top. He wasn't going to do it. No, he wasn't going to do that, and he wasn't going to blend it. He just, next. Took it down to the skin. Next, and then if you had glasses, they took you. They took away your glasses. Yeah, your designer glasses that you thought you looked cute in, Joseph. Yeah, they took those away, and they gave you the ABCs, and them birth control glasses we called them. Little black frames, amen. You know, just square and black, and you know, just you ain't cute, and there wasn't nobody cute in them things, right? But they stripped away your identity, and they begin to reshape and reform your mind, and made you into a unit, amen. Who walked together, ate together, fought together, amen, learned together, grew together, amen, so that you could fight the war, amen. You came. A part of them, it was no longer me. You had to walk in step with each other. You had to follow cadence that somebody else was calling. You had to wait. I mean, I remember, you know, we would get up 4 day in the morning. What's that mean? Before daylight in the morning. Then we get up 4 day in the morning. Amen. No, we was up before the crack. We was up because we had to be in the child hall and back in ranks in 15 minutes, amen. And we might, you know, if we, you know, watch the sunrise after we ate. But, you know, if you didn't get in there soon enough, you won't eat, but you better be back on that grinder in line. Because when they say it's time to go, don't get left behind. You know, what am I saying? You had to conform to something completely different, something completely foreign to what you were used to. But we come to the kingdom of God, and we expect him just to add to what we were used to. In fact, not just add to, make what we're used to better. Because we don't realize that we just joined the army, and we are a kingdom at war. And wonder, you know, why I got all this trouble going on. What are we fighting for, amen? What's the fight all about? Amen. We're fighting for the souls of men and women. Our own as well. We're fighting for the salvation. We're fighting against the tyranny of this world, amen, that wants to come and take over everything, amen, and eliminate anything that has to do with God. That's what we're fighting. We have to make up our minds that we're willing to make a stand, amen, against the unrighteousness that we see all around us, amen, because We do have an adversary who we call the devil, and he does have his army, one third of the heavenly host that fell when he fell. Amen. That come alongside, amen, as part of his henchmen to come against us. We're fighting for the unborn. Amen. Someone has to make a stand. Amen. For the assault and the attacks and the murder of the unborn that's going on over and over and over again. Amen. We got to fight for some things. Amen. We got to fight for our children who are constantly being indoctrinated with political and social agendas. Amen. Instead of being taught the ABCs in school. Amen. Someone's got to pray for a nation that has become so lost. Amen. That it has been declared we are no longer a Christian nation, although we were founded on Christian principles. Something tells me we're losing the war. You know, we were founded on these principles, amen, but yet we silently allow it to happen. We're not in good shape. We're not in good shape. Amen. So we look at that. We fight for our young adults in our colleges, amen, who have been fed with anti-God ideologies. Amen. Being taught things that don't line up with truth. Amen. We got so many teachers that have been indoctrinated. Now they want to indoctrinate our children. The professors who have gone left and they want to take everybody left with them. Amen. And I'm not being political. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. Because something is right, in my opinion, or it's left. If you're right, you're right with God. If you're going left, you're somewhere else. If it don't line up to the word of God, amen, it's not right. And if we're fighting all these things, amen, we're fighting against the proliferation of this sexual perversion, amen, that's taken over our nation. And we got to fight to keep our children protected. Amen. Our young adults protected. Ourselves protected. Because it's all around us. Oh, someone say, I didn't come to hear this. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Because we need to think about where we are and who we are, because whether we engage or not, the kingdom is at war. And either you will fight and you will put on your armor, amen, and get in the fight, or you will be a captive. You know. So we got to make up our mind where we're going, what we're going to do, where do I stand in this fight that we're in, amen, against the world gone mad. Because it's going. Just look around, amen. And the sad thing is, and I'm trying not to go all these places, but the sad thing is if you look at history, most of the conflicts of the world, when you get down to it, is based on the difference of religion. It's found its root, amen, in religion. And we look and we say, wow, there's a problem. Yes, there is a problem, because the enemy wants to destroy the truth. That's why you can engage in just about any other religion. And I use that word loosely. Religion. Because Jesus didn't come to bring religion. But you can engage in any other religion in our schools and our campuses and, you know, and they'll let you set up a social club. Amen. You can have classes on that religion and require kids to engage in that religion. I remember when Jericho was in school and they were doing a thing on the Muslim religion. Amen. And for that whole semester, they were supposed to adopt a Muslim name and read their scriptures and do all these things and let's study that. And I said, you're not doing none of that. Right? But if it would have been a professor that came in and said, we want to study the Bible, they would have got fired. Don't bring that Bible in here. You can do anything, but when you start talking about Christianity, they want to shut you down. They want to eliminate the truth. We're at war. We're at war, and we got to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Because it's not going to end until Jesus comes to take us out of here. Amen. And then there's going to be all kinds of stuff taking place, which I don't have time to go into. But I want you to go with me to Matthew 24. Because the list goes on and on of the things that we're fighting for. But in Matthew 24, amen, Jesus had just got through dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes. And if you read the 23rd chapter, he just tears them down. He just reads their mail, if I could put it like that. But then he gets to the 24th chapter, amen, and he lays some things out we need to hear. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Because he said, I mean, this temple is beautiful. It took them years to build the temple. And he tells them the time is coming where it's going to be torn down. So they're curious, and they come and ask, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? People still ask that question to today. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. And what are we seeing? We're seeing wars and rumors of war. But he said, don't be troubled yet. He said, that's Elder Johnny freeing up some storage over there. Amen. He said, but don't be deceived, amen, and you shall hear wars and rumors of war. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Do we see any of that thing going on these days? Amen. COVID was nothing but a big pestilence, amen. And we look around the world, famines, all these things are taking place already, amen. But he goes on to say, all these things, you know, the other day, even I'm thinking, you know, because we just had another earthquake here recently, and I looked, you know, because, what was that? It was Sister Crystal. She sent me a text about the earthquake that we had. And I had been sitting in my living room when I felt it, but I attributed it to the work they were doing in my neighbor's driveway. I was tired. So but then when I looked at her text, and then I went online, and I said, well, show me earthquakes, you know, today. You know, and it came up and it showed me, oh, in the last 24 hours, there had been 24 earthquakes around the world. I said, there's a lot of shaking going on. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Amen. So I looked at that, and he said, you know what? All these are the beginning. And we're seeing these things now. But it said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, pay close attention. You're at war. We're at war. We are in the kingdom of God. Amen. We are targets. Right? Amen. Unless you choose to. Well, I will get to that later. Amen. Then shall they deliver you up. I'm going to let that settle for a minute. Because we're seeing all these other things. And he's talking to his disciples. And he said, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Do we see any of this stuff going on?
Amen. Oh, glory.
Man, this is just a little wake-up call. Amen. They say they would hate one another. I can't stand him. You know, we allowing these things, but we don't realize that we're in war. And these things are taking place all around us, amen. There are signs that the war is intensifying, amen, that things are elevating. And we see it happening, amen, all around us. And many false prophets shall arise. Many false prophets. And they're not talking about prophet, false prophets out there. They're talking about false prophets in the church. Deceiving the people. Amen. You know, in war, there's all kinds of people. I'm going to talk about a few of them. But one of those is, you know, they're spies and double agents. Amen. You know, a double agent works for both sides. Amen. But his allegiance is really for one of them. Amen. So we have false prophets that are coming in here teaching lies, watering down the gospel. Amen. Giving people a false sense of security. Making people think it's all about you and the Lord will do this for you and do that for you, but never tell you what you need to do for the Lord. Never helps you to understand your assignment or mine. Amen. And we look at this, amen, and he said, and shall deceive many. See, now, a lot of times we look at these passages and say, yeah, them people in the world is deceived. He's deceiving them. No, see, that's where we're missing it. He said they're going to come against you. And he don't have to worry about deceiving those that's not even thinking about God. You don't have to deceive somebody who ain't even trying to live for God. So the deception is coming to the house of God to deceive those that are desiring to live right and desiring to draw close to God, amen, but haven't really understood the warfare that we're engaged in. The deception is coming right to our feet, right to our doors, right to your home, right through your TV or your cell phone, TikTok. We love scrolling. Right? How long do you stay on there? How long is he stealing your time and your attention? How long is he filling out what your interests are? I'm going to leave that alone. I could go somewhere right now, but we're going to leave that alone. Amen. Studying you because you're not studying him. We're at war. And our adversary is very smart. He's been at it for a long time. We've only been at it for, what, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? That's nothing, you know, compared to an adversary that's been at it for over 2,000 years, and he sees where you are, and he sees where I am, and he knows where our weaknesses are, and he knows how to come and draw us in because he's cunning, and he's divisive, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants us not to pay attention to what's really going on in the world around us. He wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to be lackadaisical about our faith. Amen. And our commitment to God. He wants us to take it or leave it or just choose, well, I don't feel like it today. Help us, Lord. Well, what do you feel like? Is serving your flesh today, serving the enemy. Oh, we would never admit we're serving the enemy. We would never admit we're serving our flesh. We just feel like we want to do this or we want to. Where's that feeling coming from? It's not lining up with God's word. I want us to be sober today. I want us to recognize that this is serious. This is real. Because as we're preparing to go into the enemy's territory, we got to know where we stand. We got to understand the warfare that's coming against us. We got to understand how he has just lulled us into places that we have become comfortable with that don't even please God. We got to understand he's here to take you out. And he is not playing no games. Amen. Right? This is one of them, you know how they used to have the, I don't know if they still got the little game Battleship. Put your pig here and you put your, and hopefully out here. No, he sees right where you are. He sees right where you are because, you know, we let him know right where we are. We complain about everything. And when I say we, I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I've seen enough over 30 years of pastoring. I've seen enough. Amen. And we let the enemy know right where we are. It's like that situation on the job. You're not satisfied with your spouse. They're doing things that upset you, and you find somebody that you can relate to. Right? Male or female, it goes both ways. Find somebody you can relate to. And pretty soon that becomes your work husband or your work wife. And you could talk to them because they understand your feelings and they know right where you are. And they know just the things to say. Dummy, you're telling them what to say. That's why they know just what to say, because you're telling them what you're upset about, so they know exactly how to please you. And he draws you right on in. And when we're complaining, and amen, and the enemy's listening, amen, and his henchmen are, oh, so that's where they at. So all I need to do to get them to turn their back or walk away or just take one more step away from God, if I just do this for them, oh, okay, I got it, because we're letting him know by our meditations and by the things that we do and the things that we say and the places that we go and who we look at on TV and who we look at online, he is watching you. And even though you don't say these things, he sees these things. Yes. He's a spirit. And don't think he's not watching. Don't think he hasn't assigned some henchman to you to watch over. So that's all I need to do for Pastor David to give up. That's all I need to do to get him to get angry and act out. You know, I used to run around, and I'm not that person no more, but I used to tell somebody, you know, I can take a lot of things, but if someone slapped me, I think I'd just lose my mind. They didn't know it, but they wouldn't have known it, but they'd have known it if it had happened at that time. You know, but, you know, by that coming out of my mouth, the enemy know, okay, all I got to do is get someone to go up and just slap him. And, right? So what am I saying? Out of our own mouths, by our own actions, we're giving the enemy ammunition to use against us specifically, rather than taking our petition to God. We got to watch it, because we say it's a setup. Well, guess what? I was setting my own self up.
Right?
This is what we do, because we don't realize we're in a warfare. And in war, we don't just openly communicate what's going on and what the troubles are and the struggles are, right? In the war, the communication is what? It's secure. It's encrypted. So the enemy can't read what your plans are. The enemy can't read where your weaknesses are and where you're sending reinforcements. The enemy can't read and see, amen, what your battle plan is. Say, well, how can I do that? How can I encrypt? How can I keep the enemy from knowing? You learn how to talk to God. Amen. You learn how to communicate with him. And one of the best places I've learned, and a lot of people don't understand or don't agree or don't except, but I know that when we pray in the spirit, the enemy can't understand nothing. That's totally encrypted. It's like, what they saying? What they saying? I don't know what they saying. He can't understand that. When you're praying in the spirit, he can't understand. That's your encryption between you and God. You see, so we have tools, but if we don't use the tools of our warfare, we're broadcasting. Might as well put it on the internet, right? And so the enemy can come in and have his way with us. But let me finish this passage, amen, because I stopped at the 12th verse, amen. It said, and because iniquity shall abound, do we see that happening? Amen. It says, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, do we see that happening? Yes. I'm trying to show y'all where we are. I was listening. You was it last night as I was listening. TBN was on and they're touching. Then they're kind of. And I thank God for that station. I thank God for the work that they're doing, because they're sending the gospel. I think it said like 172 nations are receiving the gospel. It's being preached to all the world. So all these things that we just read in Matthew, and there's more in Matthew that I don't have time to go into, but all these things we've read so far are upon us. But that's the one that we need to look at. He said, the gospel is being preached to all the nations, and then the end shall come. The gospel is being preached to all nations. The war is intensifying. The victory is soon to take place. But you got to know where you stand. You got to understand that we are at war. You are at war. Amen. And there's so much in that, amen, that, you know, I can't even go into. But I want us to understand, amen, that we as the people of God are living in a time of war, spiritual warfare that's going on. Amen. And in war, there's all kinds of people. Amen. But people don't, you know, we don't understand how intense this war really is, because we don't see it at our door in the natural. But in the spiritual, it's all around us. Amen. And there's all kinds of things taking place. Amen. And on the other side, like I said earlier, the enemy is not playing. We're enjoying. We're kicking back. We're relaxing. We're enjoying life. Amen. And, you know, doing this, that, and the other. Now, all that's good as long as you know where you stand. As long as you're being about your Father's business. As long as it's not set on the back burner. Amen. While I do my thing, and I'll give him some time. Amen. And I'll go when it's convenient, and I'll do this and I'll do that. No. You need to be about your Father's business. You need to be on your P's and Q's. You need to recognize, amen, that the enemy has come to take you out, because this is serious business. Amen. And that's what I want us to hear this morning. We are at war. Amen. And the battle is raging. Amen. And those that are not spiritual don't see it. Amen. And neither do they have to worry about it, because he's not coming after them. He already has them. But those of us who are spiritual, we need to up our game. And I say the word game, not that it's a game. But we need to up the fight. We need to not sit back and let him continue to take it to us, but we need to take it to the enemy. Amen. We need to be ready to fast and to pray and to get into his word. Amen. And to be serious about reaching somebody and snatching some from the fire. Amen. And being on a search and rescue mission, because people all around us are dying. And they don't know God. Or maybe they don't understand the warfare that's really going on. And we need to be about his business. He said, go and compel them. What does it mean to compel? It didn't just suggest. To compel somebody means to press upon them. To be very compelling. You ever have anybody that's so compelling they got you to do something that you really didn't want to do? Oh, you know when that door-to-door salesman came and they kept talking, didn't let you get in the word edgewise. Amen. And how people get you on the phone. Amen. And they've been trained not to let you talk. But they'll open, they'll answer, ask you questions that the only answer is yes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what I know. They've been trained how to question and how to pose questions to you on the phone, these telemarketers, amen, so that the only reasonable answer to their question will be yes. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, and without thinking, yes. And they found that if they can get you to say three or four yeses in a row, by the time they get to the real question, yes is going to roll right off your tongue. So how would you like me to, you know, build that? Because they already got you on the roll. And what am I saying? That's how the enemy, he reels us in. And before we know it, we're agreeing with something that we otherwise wouldn't have agreed with. Amen. And we're choosing and making choices that we already know in our spirit, in our belly, that no, this ain't right. But it sounds so good. And guess what? God understands. Yeah, he does. It's a violation of his word. He understands. But see, the enemy reels us in because we don't understand the warfare that's coming against us. How he's setting us up over and over and over again. You know, so that we're not using our weapons. Amen. Because we haven't taken time to train on the weapons. Amen. And the enemy can come in any kind of way he wants. Amen. Because we're not ready to fight. You know. Now, some people, you know, they go into the military. Well, I'm just going to get a desk job. I'll work in dispersing. I'll work in personnel. You know, I'll do logs and records. But when the real war comes, none of that paperwork matters. You better know how to handle an M16.
Amen.
you better know how to get out there on the front and be ready to fight, because they're not going to tell the bullet, don't hit the paperwork, clerk. It's not going to happen, right? So you got to be ready to fight regardless of what the enemy is trying to do. It's serious business. Amen. So we need to learn how to put on our weapons of war. You know, we read, amen, about the weapons of war. Amen. And it sounds good. The breastplate of righteousness is the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And all that sounds so good, but it's not a Halloween costume. It's not for a costume party. This is for war. And it's real. And we need to understand, amen, when you leave out without your armor on, amen, you're setting yourself up for the enemy to come, amen, and take you out. I need you to honestly assess where you are in this fight. Who you are in this fight. What have we given ourselves over to the adversary? Where have we let him come in and haven't even thought about it? We become comfortable with the devil sitting at our table. And we've allowed him to sear our senses so it doesn't bother us anymore. Lord, remove that scab so we can feel what we need to feel and get to a place that we need to get to. So I need just us to honestly assess, amen. Because if you're fighting next to me in this war, and you are, I need to know that you got my back like I got yours. I don't need you flipping through TikTok when the enemy's shooting at me and got me pinned down. I need you to know how to go to war in prayer. I need you to know how to rebuke the enemy. I need you to know how to lay hands on the devil and tell him to get up and get out of here. Amen. I need you to be ready to fight the war instead of not even recognizing that I'm in trouble. We need to be ready to speak and do what needs to be done. I need to know, and you need to know, amen, because this battle is not for the weak at heart, amen. You got to be ready to stand, and you got to be ready to fight. You know, as I look, I was listening last week, because I like to keep tabs on what's going on in Israel. That's God's people, that's God's country, amen. And one of the commentators was asking one of the representatives, well, how are things going in Israel? You know, Hamas is a mess. I mean, and the Gaza Strip is a mess. I said, but how is life, day-to-day life over in Israel? And he said, well, the Israelites, I mean, we've been fighting and we're very resilient, you know, and, you know, everything is pretty much back to normal, at least up to 80% back to normal. People are going to work, going to school, going shopping. Wow, the war is just a couple miles away. They're comfortable. You know, and I look at that and say, is that how we are? We're comfortable because we think the war is over there. But then if you're where the fight is, there is no going to work. There's no more home, no more schools. Water has to be trucked in. Food has to be trucked in. They're understanding what the war is in a very graphic and real way. You know, what am I saying? If we could, you know, I was sitting last night as I was going over my notes, and I'm thinking, Lord, if we could see how you see. If we could have a view from the spiritual realm of our nation and our world how you see, would it be as beautiful to us? Would it be as wonderful to us? It's because as long as we're not feeling the crunch, we feel like everything is well. But I want us to pause for a minute. And, you know, I was thinking about a scene of a bombed out city. Rubble and destruction everywhere. Smoke rising and the whole night. I just begin to wonder, is that how God sees us in the spirit? To where there's not enough fight for the church of the living God. And his kingdom, which we are a part of, is in rubble. Because there's not enough fight taking place. And there are people that are dying on every side, amen. Civilian casualties, you know. And I look at all that, and which should never be. You know, because why? Just like this, the evil that's taking place in Hamas, you know, when we look at Satan, he does not pay attention to the rules of engagement. He's going to do whatever he wants, however he wants, whatever it takes to take you or me out. Oh, yeah, and we're vulnerable. You know, so I look at these things, amen, and in war, there's always a command structure. There's always political structure, amen, that's overseeing and directing and doing all these things, just like in the kingdom of God. He gives us orders. He gives us instructions. He gives us assignments. The scripture talks about the, you know, Satan he being the prince of the power of the air, the ruler of the darkness in spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers around the world and across our nation. That's his political structure. That's his. But where's God's? I mean, it's supposed to be his church, where he set things in order in his church to equip us and prepare us for the fight. But when we come into the church, we don't want no one telling us nothing.
Come on, Jesus. Oh, preach apostle.
We're individuals.
Preach.
I'm grown. You think it would have worked if I got to boot camp and told them, I'm grown, you can't tell me what to do.
Come on now.
That wouldn't have worked too well. I had to understand the order and the structure in order for us to fight together as a unit. We need to understand God's order in his kingdom so that we can fight the fight. Amen, because it's not about who's who, it's what needs to be done and how God structured it to be done. We all have a responsibility. Amen, so we got to rise up, we got to rise up. I know I got to stop, but I haven't even got started yet. God wants us to take this thing seriously. And I can't even impress upon you how seriously I feel it in my spirit. That we have to get it right. We have to, you know. And when I say get it right, I'm not talking about being perfect. But I'm talking about having enough understanding to know, amen, what needs to be done. And giving it our level best effort to not get so engaged with this life, amen, that we miss what God is trying to do in the spirit. Where he's trying to get us from to get us to. And we're holding on to the from. We're focused on the from. Amen. And we're comfortable with the from that we can't get to. And God is saying, no, we got to turn it around. We got to turn it around. Amen. And realize, amen, we are pilgrims and travelers passing through. This is not our home. But, you know, we don't want to be, I got mine, get yours. No, we want to be able to say, I want to take as many people with me
That's right.
As I can. I want to take as many with me, amen, amen. I always think about the movie, amen, which was based on the true life of Schindler's List. And he was always just one more. One more. If I can reach one more. So he wasn't, you know, and how many times he put his own self at risk and all that he had at risk to reach one more. To save one more from death and destruction. if we as God's people had that mind, that we are willing to risk everything we have just to reach one more soul, just to change one more life, instead of seeing it as an inconvenience or interference or a bother or a problem or struggle or I don't have time for that. Oh, it's in the house. We need to be more focused on the job at hand. He said, go and tell them, make disciples. Amen. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Y'all stand with me. I got to wrap it up. But he's looking for soldiers. Amen. That's ready to fight sea, land, and air, wherever you are. Amen. In all these vineyards, he's looking for soldiers. He's looking for those that are willing to engage the fight, not those that are just looking to be comfortable and to be served. He's looking for those, amen, because all these different places, amen, that he sends us, our assignments, he wants us to be about his business. He does not want us to be the ones engaged in every other conversation but about him. It's easy to talk about all these other things in the world. But when it comes to lifting up the name of Jesus, letting them know that your soul needs to be saved. That's where he's calling us to. That's where he wants us to recognize around us, all around us, all around us are people that need to know Jesus. Amen. I guarantee you, if you get engaged in the work of God, he'll take care of you. He's proven it over and over and over again. Because some of the places that I'll be dealing with is the different types of people that are engaged in this warfare. The different types of people, amen, in places that I see people. And I already touched on one a little bit, but there's a lot of POWs in the church. You want to know what that means? Be here next Sunday.
Amen.
I said in the church.
Amen.
In the church.
Amen.
A lot of POWs. Then there's a whole lot of MIAs in the church. In the church. Refugees. And even in the church, we find sympathizers that are not doing anybody any good. Not even themselves. But they're in the church. They're more of a stumbling block than a help. Defectors and deserters. Oh, yeah. And all these have spiritual implications in the church. But you talk to someone, how you doing? I'm good. Are you really? I even find conscientious objectors in a church. So we're going to talk about those and more next week. Because this is a war. And we need to identify, where am I? Who am I in the kingdom of God? Am I about the assignment? Am I about God's agenda or my own? God wants us to rise up, get in place, get in position, break off some of these things, amen, that's hindering us from truly being who he wants us to be here. And I'm still talking about the church at large. But that does not leave us out.
That's right.
We want to identify where we are. You got to ask him, Lord, show me. Help me to see. Because I can look to the left and to the right and say, oh, she that and he that. But what about me?
Amen.
What about me? Am I where God wants me to be? Or am I just, you know, breezing on through like I got ice skates on and I'm in the rink. Amen. I can just keep on sliding and not doing. He's calling us to a serious walk.
Hallelujah.
To fight the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
And why? Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. And he wants to give us an eternity where he can show it to us and prove it to us. And he wants us to have that same love for our fellow man. Freely you've received, so freely give. So that we can help others to know the truth and to be rescued from the fall. It's all about his love, his plan and his purpose that he has for us. But we got to get through the warfare, the meeting out, so that we can meet him where he's at.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's there for us. So let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. And don't think about anybody but you.
Amen.
And him. And where that relationship really is. Not the distractions in your life. Not the challenges. But just you and him. If it were you and him in a room alone. Face to face. What would you have to say? And what do you think he would have to say? Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come before you right now. And we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your long-suffering towards us, Lord, because you already see and you know where I stand, where my brothers and sisters in this room stand. Regardless of what we think of ourselves, God, you see exactly where we are. And Lord, we're asking you, I'm asking you, God, to show us, because you love us, show us. Show us those places, Lord, that would separate us from you.
Yes.
Oftentimes we know, but we've glossed it over.
Come on.
And we've made it okay. But show us, God,
yeah,
where we need to be about your business. Show us how we can represent you better. Show us, Lord, the things that would hold us back from boldly proclaiming your word. Show us those places, God, where we withhold your love because we judge others. Lord, show us, Lord, where we feel like we have arrived, Lord, and all is well. Show us the truth. Show us how to walk in your love. Even in our own homes, God. As husbands and wives. Lord, as mothers and fathers, show us how we can represent you on our jobs and in our businesses. Lord, in a way, God, that you would look and say, I'm proud of my child. I'm proud. Help us, Lord. We need you. We need your help. We need your strength. We need you, the Lord, to teach us how to word our mouths.
Yes.
Lord, how to have our Father's ears.
Yes.
Lord, and to see others as you see them. Not according to our own understanding. But above all, Lord, we need you. We need to draw closer and closer to you. Lord, to surrender our all to you, Lord, as we come to say, here am I, Lord. Use me any way you will. Because we want to be right in your sight, Lord. We want to be ready to engage the warfare. But help us to see it. Help us to understand and recognize that it's all around us. And if we're not engaged in it, we become victims of it. So help us, Father, to be able to fight the good fight of faith. As Paul told Timothy, that we can fight the good fight of faith. Lord, that we can stand before you with our head held high and say, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. Lord, help us, because we can't do it on our own. So move in our hearts, in our minds. Help us, Lord, to keep our commitment to you above all others. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for anyone that's here that has not given their lives over to you, or maybe, Lord, have stepped back for whatever reason, Lord, that they've stepped back from their first love, that they can come and do their first works over again, to give their lives over to you once and again, Lord. You say you stand at the door and knock. You give us chance after chance, Lord. As long as the blood is running warm in our veins, Lord, we have the opportunity, Lord, to come and say, here am I. Your word says, if we sin, we have an advocate. Lord, we call on the advocate this morning, Lord. That, Lord, you could advocate on the behalf of whosoever will come. So if you're here and that's you, amen. If you're here and you haven't given your life to him, if you need to recommit yourself, I invite you to come right now. Hallelujah. Come, come, come. Oh, sometimes we feel like, well, I did that. Well, it don't hurt to do it again. Give the devil a black eye. Let him know I don't belong to you. You thought you had me, but you don't. I've gotten away again. And if you trick me again, I know he's going to come out after me and break me free again and again. As long as I'm able, he's coming. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God wants us to give our all to him. This world wants to take us astray. The adversary wants to destroy us, but he gave his life for us because he loves us that much. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for these men. Lord, I pray for these men that have stepped out in spite of what others may see, think, or say, as unto you, God. You know their struggles. You know the challenges, Lord, that they face. But God, above all, you know their hearts. Even as your word says, a heart can be deceitfully wicked. But God, you know it. We can't know it, but you know it. So I lift these men up before you right now. As they make this step before you this morning, knowing that you will meet them right where they are. But you love them so much, God, you won't leave them there. You will strengthen them. You will strengthen them. And you will build them up. And you will use them for your glory. Lord, I pray you put a hedge of protection around them and all of us, God. Lord, as we continue to choose to fight the fight of faith. Lord, to stand on your word, God, and not allow ourselves to be duped by the enemy. But God, to make a choice for you every day. We have to make a choice every day for you. Because the enemy is constantly putting things in front of us, whether they're good or whether they're trying to call us out. He's constantly trying to find ways to trick us up. So Lord, I cover these two men right now. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you honor, God. We give you glory. You know, your word says heaven rejoices over one. We got more. Lord, we rejoice with our brothers right now, Lord, because they respond to your word and to your spirit, God. You drew them, not me. You drew them. Lord, it's your word, God. It's your spirit operating on the inside. So we ask you right now, Lord, to meet them where they are. Lord, help us to come alongside. Lord, to walk with them and to strengthen them. Lord, that we can fight the fight together. Lord, we got one another's back. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Keep fighting. Keep the fight. Hallelujah. You know, the fight is real. The fight is daily. I gave my life to the Lord 45 years ago. And he ain't stopped yet trying to trip me up. So don't think because you get in and everything is all.